with all the charm he could muster, a man raced to the gate. And he asked the flight attendant, "Are there any seats left?" She looked at her computer screen and began to say, "No, I'm afraid." And he just knew she was going to tell him he had to wait for a later flight. But to his amazement, she continued on, "No, I'm afraid there are no seats left in coach, but we can bump you up to first class." And he said to her, "Color me thankful. Oh, thank you so much." And he got on the plane. And he began to look around and he began to realize that not everybody was as he was. He was so thankful, but he looked over at a guy across the aisle who was angry because he had only one pillow. And he was complaining about the poor service on the flight. And as the stewardesses were busy getting things ready, closing up doors, asking people, you know the routine, that so they could take off. And he said, "I thought to myself, I'm smiling like a guy who's got the world by the tail. I'm so thankful. And this guy here across the aisle, well, he's nothing but a crank. But," he said, "in my seat sits a grateful man." What was the difference? The difference, he surmised, was the crank had to pay for his seat, but my seat was a gift. Can I ask you this morning, on which side of the aisle do you find yourself? Begin finding in your Bibles this morning, if you will, the 17th chapter of Luke. And then find verse 11, and then if you are able, if you would kindly stand to your feet as we honor God with His word of instruction for us here this morning. Luke 17, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Father God, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, may we have a faith that is filled with thankfulness, that we might be made whole. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our presuming upon your grace. We ask you to forgive us for the many times we assume the worst. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for so many, many things when it comes to the area of thankfulness. And Lord, I just pray for us today, that as we look around this church, that we would be thankful for a Savior who has forgiven us all of our sins. And we thank you for a Savior who is in this house today, for the soul who may be here who has not yet come to Christ and needs to come to Christ, that they might receive the forgiveness for all of their sins, that they might be made whole. But, oh Lord, we pray that we would not be like the old Israelites who came out of Egypt just a grumbling and a complaining and, Lord, always assuming the worst about so great a God. Oh Lord, would you touch hearts this morning? Would you speak to each and every one of us? In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You know, as I think about this passage of Scripture, God is emphasizing two things He wants us to employ in our day-to-day living. His first point of emphasis is that we, as His people, ought to be characterized by an attitude of gratitude. And do you have one? Second, the thing that He wants to point out to us is to let us know that it is thankfulness that pleases Him. I pray you're aware that God had James write, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves," so that whenever you hear the word of God being preached and understand that God has an expectation of you and me. If you're in a Sunday school class and the teacher is teaching God's Word, God has an expectation for you and me. Whenever we hear the Word of God, God has an expectation for you and me. He wants us to put into action that which He shares from the mouth of whoever is speaking into our daily lives. Friends, if all we do is come to Sunday school or come to the church service, listen to the message or the lesson, and then go home and do nothing with it, we cannot profit in our spiritual lives. And so God encourages us in many places, but probably the most famous of all places is what he had James write, "Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self." And we're going to witness that in this message this morning as well. Now, thankfulness is gratitude, and gratitude is the expression of our thankfulness. And if Jesus' telling of this story is any indication, I want you to note what Jesus is saying. He met 10 lepers, and 9 out of 10 people suffer from ingratitude. 9 out of 10 is epidemic proportions. How many of you would, by a show of hands, say we are living in a highly critical world? Amen? How many, by a show of hands, would agree that very little thankfulness is expressed in our world today? Amen? Even in the church, sad to say. And so God wants us to know that if you feel as if life owes you something, you better brace yourself for a life of sour hours. You're never going to get reimbursed. The sky is never going to be blue enough for you. Your steak will never be cooked just right for you. to your mind, the universe, this old universe down here, is not good enough for a person like you. And you are going to grumble, and you are going to complain, and you're going to snap, and you're going to snarl your way into an early grave. Here's what I've come to learn. Thankful people focus less on the pillows they lack, if you will, and more on the privileges they have. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be in the house of the living God this morning? Do you realize what a privilege it is that God gave you and I another day? It is of His mercies that we are not consumed. Great is His faithfulness. They are new every morning. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What a joy to be in the house with people that you love, with people that you care for, with people that you desire nothing but the best for. And I pray you would say the same for your pastor. Friends, what a joy it is to come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Amen. Did you enjoy Sunday school this morning? Oh, how I hope so. And if you miss Sunday school, you don't know what you're missing. You need to get there. What a privilege it was. If you're married, what a privilege it was to wake up and kiss your honey this morning. Amen. What a privilege it is to look around and look upon your children and your grandchildren. What a joy. Now, I know I may not look like much, but I want to tell you, y'all look beautiful to me, and what a joy it is for me to look upon you this morning. What a privilege to have sung our praises to God this morning. What a privilege to know our God hears prayer and our God answers prayer. Oh, what a privilege. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was such a man. I want to share with you what he had to say. It is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. That statement came from the lips of a man who was martyred for his Christian faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in America when the trouble in Germany started so long ago. But he loved his people. He went back to Germany. And he was martyred for his faith. But where did Bonhoeffer learn that from? From Jesus. Jesus expressed in several places that it is gratitude that makes one whole. Now only one, the Bible tells us, only one came back. To express his gratitude for the miracle that Jesus Christ had provided in the gift of healing. Only one. Nine others received the same gift as the one, but they never even gave it a thought. They never said thank you. They never expressed gratitude. Have you ever wondered why the appreciation depreciation? Our text informs us that Jesus came into the village, and there he met 10 lepers. We're not told how he came to meet these 10 lepers, but we can't be sure of what they yelled as he came near. Unclean, unclean, unclean. The warning was unnecessary because their very appearance would drive people away. Yet the Mosaic law required that a leper yell, unclean, unclean, if people were to approach them or as they were approaching others. leprosy carried with it ulcerated limbs, truncated skin, lumpy faces. It's a terrible disease. Their appearance alone would have driven people away, but not Jesus. Jesus saw their need. And this morning, as I preach, the Holy Spirit of God is looking right into your heart. And Jesus knows your need this morning. He knows exactly what you need this morning. He sees your need. Hallelujah. And He came to them. And if you have a heart that is willing this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ will come to meet you this morning as well. And He gave them a verse of instruction, some words of instruction. He said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." You see, the lepers knew the significance of this instruction. Only the priest could declare them clean. And to their credit, they obeyed. By their obedience, they were a doer of the word. Now, can you imagine if they'd been sitting in church and the Lord Jesus had come and said, "This is what you need to do," and at the altar call, you go forward, and there they sat and did nothing. They'd received a word of instruction, and then they went on out, and they went home, and they did nothing. And then they wondered why they would not profit. And yet that's how many people come to church today, isn't it? They come, they hear what God has to say, and they do nothing. And God has called us to be a doer of the word, and to their credit they obeyed. And because of the abundant mercy, love, grace, amazing grace of Jesus Christ, they were healed as they went. Can you just picture them? Here they are. I mean, they look hideous. And as they're going along, all of a sudden the scabs, the scales, normal skin begins to return. Then all of a sudden they've got a new strength. All of a sudden they've got a new energy. All of a sudden they're beginning to think, something is happening to me. Oh, for the amazing grace of God. When God touches us, we are not the same anymore. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This human mass of misery, if you will, became a leaping, jumping, celebrating chorus of health. Now, can you just imagine Jesus' face and the look upon it as he saw them going? For He knew what the priest would say. He knew they were cleansed because the one who can do the cleansing had done it. How powerful the Word of God. Just one word from God is all we need to be made whole. But friend, you've got to act on it. Thank God they acted on it. So He waited. He sees them. He tells them they're going. He hears their joy. And He waits. How often does God wait upon us to return thanks for what He's done for us? Have you thanked God for this day of life? As you looked at your husband or your wife or your family member this morning, did you thank God? Thank you, God, that we can begin another day together. We don't know where it will end, but thank you, God, that we get to wake up and we get to begin another day. Thank you, God, that I have the opportunity to go to church this morning. Thank you, God, that I can listen to my Sunday school teacher and feed me. Thank you, God, that I can sing my praises unto you. Thank you, God. Only 1 out of 10 came and fell at Jesus' feet to thank him. And what's more, the Bible tells us that this was a Samaritan. Meaning that 9 out of the 10 people that were healed were God's chosen people, the Jews. Even Jesus is astonished and he asks, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Why the appreciation, depreciation? And we see that so much in our world today. We hear it so much in our world today, don't we? We can speculate as to reasons for it. Perhaps some were planning to give thanks, but first they needed to find family, friends, and doctors. Some were perhaps too busy to be thankful. Some perhaps too cautious to be thankful, guarding against unbridled joy, keeping their hopes down, thinking what's too good to be true is. Others, too self-centered, too self-important to be thankful. To their thinking, we really weren't that sick. Given enough time, we would have been healed. And to others, now that I've been made whole, I'm going to have to get a job. I'm going to have to start being a responsible citizen of society. I'm going to have to be accountable. Still others too arrogant. Too busy. Too self-centered. Too close to home. Whatever the reasons, I'm certain the reasons are just. Only one. Only 1 out of 10 came to give thanks. 1 out of 10 came to express his appreciation. 9 out of 10 suffered from ingratitude. If this is any indication of the church and the world today, 9 out of 10 people have their hearts in their home set and situated on grumbling street and whining way. Always assuming the worst. Always a cloudy day in their lives, but not the Samaritan. His heart and his home were set in a place called Thanksgiving Way. And what a beautiful place this is. It was from this place, the Bible tells us, he came and he fell down and he gave thanks. He worshiped. Is that how you've come to church this morning? To give thanks to God for all he's done for you. This one came to give thanks for the miracle that he'd received. Meaning it took time, his time, but he was willing to sacrifice it. It took effort, his effort, to turn around and go back to where Jesus was, but he was willing to make the effort for one reason and one reason only. just so he could bow before the Savior's feet and give thanks for his healing. This shows us that his healing was not just a physical healing, but also a spiritual healing. His heart was changed. He did how I started this service this morning. I can just picture him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I'm certain must have fallen from his lips. I could picture him coming up over the hillside and coming back, and there is Jesus just waiting to see if any would return, and there's one. And can you imagine the look upon Jesus' face as he received the heartfelt worship from one whom he had so graciously healed? How long has it been since you have blessed the Lord from the depths of your soul? My friends, if truth be told, sin is just like leprosy. It deformed us because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Sin has so cankered our soul and numbed our senses that we're exactly like these lepers here in Luke 17. Jesus told the men to go, and they were healed. Today, Jesus says to sinners, come unto me, and I will give you rest. In other words, I will heal you. I will meet your need. I will take care of you. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And you're no longer going to be a sinner if you're lost. You're going to be a saint because I am going to take you and I am going to wash you in my blood. And we all know the song, what can wash away my sin, church? Nothing but the... What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if you're lost and you need Jesus, you need Jesus. I need Jesus today. You see, if you're saved, Jesus wants to meet what's bothering you because he cares for you and he loves you and he wants what's best for you. Now, friend, are you aware that in the Holy Scriptures, rarely will we find the words betrayed and thanks in the same sentence, much less in the same heart? And yet Scripture teaches that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had taken it, he gave thanks. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Now picture the scene. Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room. In just a few short moments, Jesus will be headed to Gethsemane and then to the cross. And as we pan around the room, there is sly Judas sitting in the corner and impetuous Peter already at the table, and soon one is going to betray him, the other is going to deny him. Do you think that Jesus did not know this? Yet in the midst of the darkest hour of the human soul, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus found a way to give thanks. Now, I'm certain You'll agree it's very easy to give thanks when everything is going our way. Amen? But how about when we can't sleep, when we can't rest, because we're going through some pain? Maybe some loss. Maybe some tough and very uncertain times. Times when it appears as if there's no answer for our prayer, no way to be healed, no way out. Do you think that these 10 lepers prior to meeting Jesus ever felt that way? And yet, something miraculous happened when they met Jesus. They were healed. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? How clean you felt. How good you felt. What joy you had. What trust. Well, dear Christian, what's happened? What's happened to us? Why is it that so many Christians seem so miserable? Do you realize when I first started in ministry, it was said that Christians have come so low that they've got their chin in a wheelbarrow. And now, 27 years later, I can say it seems like the people who should be the most joyful and the most thankful, well, their chin is so low you've got to pick it back up to put it in the wheelbarrow. What's happened? Why are we so critical? Why are we so quick to assume the worst in one another? Why? Is it because we lack thankfulness for what God has done in our lives? For what God is doing, has done, and will do in our church? Why? Have we forgotten to pray? Have we lost sight of the one who can take care of us? The Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Are we too busy looking to the left? And to the right, have we taken our eyes off the Savior? Jesus said to this one, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I believe I'm speaking to some Christians today who are no longer whole because they have lost their thankfulness. You see, faith and thankfulness go together in making us whole, a whole Christian, a joyful Christian. For God's glory. This Samaritan, no doubt, rehearsed God's accomplishments. And the more he rehearsed, the more he discovered God's heart. And the more he meditated on God's goodness, the more he discovered the abundant mercy and grace of God. God is just not a good giver. He's a loving Savior who cares about you and me. And that's why this Samaritan went back. You see, I learned from this Samaritan that genuine gratitude will lead us to thankfulness and praise. It will encourage us to exchange bitterness for something better. It makes us want to praise God, to thank God. Well, friend, in Jesus Christ, we receive the forgiveness of our sins through repentance and faith. In Jesus Christ, lepers like us can be made whole. In Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to express our gratitude and thanksgiving for all of the good and, yes, even the heartbreaking experiences life throws at us. Because we who are saved by the blood of the Lamb and who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb have a wonderful promise from God. This is what the Bible says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Are you living for His purpose? How can we, of all people, not have the attitude of gratitude as we go through life with a promise like that? And so this morning, just before the invitation, as God has spoken to us and His word never goes out void, does it? It's His promise. God has spoken to me and He has spoken to you this morning, so let us ask. Who are you? Are you the one? Or would you be counted among the nine? My hope, God's hope, is you will receive this word, that you will apply this word. And you will profit from this word because you will take it and you will put it into action in your life. What step do you need to take, perhaps, to be more like the one and less like the nine? Father, we thank you for your word of instruction for us today. And Lord, as you search hearts and minds right now, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to touch us, to remind us to be a doer of the word, to remind us that it is thankfulness that makes us whole, to remind us that there is a Savior who died for us, who gave everything He had for us. There is a Savior who loves us today. And I pray that we would know it. For it is in His name that we pray this morning. And all of God's people said, Amen.